This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Gracious God, may the joy that you give to us that cannot be taken away be ours forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have a collection of cutouts from the newspapers that go back to my earliest days in seminary. And I'd cut something out thinking, someday this will work into a sermon. And a lot of those are comic strips from the days when we used to read the funny papers every day. And I found one when I was getting ready for this week that was a Blondie and Dagwood cartoon. And in that cartoon, the first panel has Dagwood sitting at work at his desk, and he's looking very distraught. And his boss, Mr. Bumstead's behind him, I think his name was, or Dithers, what was it? Dithers. Oh, you know this one. So anyway, Dagwood says, sometimes I feel like I'm really inadequate. And the boss puts his hand on his shoulder in the next panel and pats him on the back and says, don't worry, Dagwood, we all feel that way. And he says, you mean you all feel inadequate sometimes? And his boss says, no, we all feel that you are inadequate. We all feel that way sometimes. We all feel that we're not good enough. We all feel like we don't deserve or merit God's love, and so we have to prove it. Whether it's in terms of a relationship with another person or with God, God's self. And this gospel today is, I think, trying to tell us that you are worthy. It starts with, when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees. Now, let's understand what this is about. The Sadducees, the sort of ruling aristocracy of the Jewish people, they were sitting pretty. It was almost like if you hear those TV evangelists who talk about the prosperity gospel, if you do this, God's going to bless your life. And you're going to have a Jaguar, and you're going to have a fancy house, and you're going to be rolling in the dough. And we can be deceived into thinking that material prosperity becomes an indication of our blessing in the sight of God. And this is where the Sadducees were. They didn't believe anything that wasn't in the first five books of what is our Bible, called the Pentateuch. If it wasn't written down there specifically, then it wasn't true. Now, for them, it became the reason why they say there is no resurrection from the dead because it's not in those five books. Now, there is this also thought that, well, they wouldn't want there to be any thought of anything after this life because I'm sitting pretty in this one. And if there's some thought that there's something beyond this, I might have to readjust my thinking about this blessing and worthiness stuff because I'm at the top of the heap right now. And so Jesus is able to dismiss them. He is able to get his way through it. What we learned from the Sadducees is what I learned from one of my favorite theologians, Miss Piggy. Ever seen Miss Piggy? She is sitting pretty on top of the heap. You ever want to get set straight? Tell Miss Piggy that she's singing a little flat. Tell Miss Piggy that she's not the most beautiful woman in the world. Or if you dare, tell Miss Piggy that she might be a little bit overweight. And what's going to happen? Hi-ya! You're going to get it, literally. She spends her life in the Muppets going through all of these conniptions, trying to convince people that she's got it, that she's the one. She's just like the Sadducees. You don't have to do that. Why? Look at those commandments that we heard today. They're nothing new. They're in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. But the problem for her and the problem for us and the problem for those Sadducees is we just think about two commandments when there's actually three. Love God, love your neighbor, and love yourself. We forget that third one. And we run around our lives trying to prove our worthiness and trying to merit God's love. And the thing is, it's supposed to start with an awareness of how much we are loved by God already. It's not something we earn. It's not something we merit. It is given. This is what distinguishes Christianity from just about every other world religion. You don't have to do something so that you're going to look good in God's eyes. You are lovable already. You know, we started this whole section of Matthew's gospel with that reflection on the beatitude, on the transfiguration story. And as Jesus heard that voice of God speaking to Jesus, that voice is speaking to us. You are my beloved. And we do so much like those Sadducees of just, don't tell me I'm no good. And we end up trying to do the reverse of the way it's supposed to work. Then there's the Pharisees. Pharisees. They didn't believe just in the written word, but the oral tradition as well. And so they came up with all these extra laws. How am I going to prove my worthiness? I'm going to keep every single one of those laws. And we're going to make up some more. They had 365 things you're not supposed to do, one for every day of the year. They had 248 extra ones of stuff that you're supposed to do. Why 248? Because for some reason they thought that there were 248 parts of the human body. How they came up with that, I have no idea, but that they did. 600 plus laws. If I keep all of these, then I'm worthy. They remind me of another one of my favorite theologians, Gonzo the Great. You ever see Gonzo? Gonzo's like these Pharisees. He runs around and he does all this stuff because he wants to prove to his friends and to the world that he is Gonzo the Great, that he is lovable by what he does. And so he does all these crazy things. Jumps off the top of a 50-story building and trying to land into a bucket. There's one particular episode where he's on a motorcycle and he jumps across, I think, about 20 cows, and he crashes into the side of the stage, and he's just like this, emotionally and physically a mess. And he ends up having a one-on-one with Kermit. And Kermit finally says, Gonzo, you don't have to do all this stuff. You're lovable just like you are. How often we are like this. If I do this, if I do this, if I do this, then maybe God will love me. Then we come to the rest of the characters of the disciples who are hanging around, and they don't get it either, do they? James and John fighting over who's the greatest. Peter not getting it and being envious and trying to talk Jesus out of the mission. And every single one of them doesn't exactly get it right. And they think, I'm not very special. Why did God call me? It's like this guy. Kermit. What's Kermit's song? It's not easy being green. Kermit looks at his life and, you know, he just doesn't think he's very special. And so when we transfer that to our theological outlook, it's, I got nothing. God must not love me. And yet even in the lyrics of that song, he comes to a point of realization that the way God made me is special and unique, and I am loved just as I am. The Sadducees didn't get it. The Pharisees didn't get it. It took a lifetime for the disciples finally to get it. And I'd venture to say that we don't get it all the time either. And I admit that I don't get it all the time either. We have to start with the first of the three commandments. That we are lovable. That I am God's beloved. Because if we don't, there is no way we're going to keep this loving God and loving neighbor straight. We're going to mess it up. It starts there on your own personal mount of transfiguration. I am God's beloved. Many of you have seen the little notes that I sometimes send, and we started it really with one of the pilgrimages, and I wrote at the byline, instead of saying peace or love, I wrote LLL, Father Marty. And all these people saying, what is LLL? We know LOL. We know a lot. What is this LLL stuff? Well, it's a family thing for us. One of the most beloved people in my life was my mother-in-law, Dee's mom, Mommy Dot. And almost every conversation she would have, she would always end it with, love, love, love everybody. Well, in our family, it's become a thing that when you send a little note, you put at the end of it, LLL. Well, maybe that is the way Jesus would have us do it in terms of a reminder of this message today. Three L's. Love God. Love your neighbor. But let it start with an incredible awareness that you are God's beloved. We honor Elliot's memory today. We had a mix-up in the bulletins, and at the 7:45 service, we had last week's readings this morning. I said it would be nice if we could turn back the clock a week. I think there would have been a lot more hugs that we'd have given Elliot. I think we would have said some more significant things to him, as he always make it a habit of doing with everybody. Well, this gospel is our reminder to turn back the clock to the time when God first spoke your name and know that you are God's beloved. May we realize that. May we live that.